When Fernando III of Castile and Leon entered history, the Iberian Peninsula was a land of divided crowns, shifting alliances, ambitious nobles, and frontiers that rarely remained quiet for long. The Christian kingdoms of the north had expanded gradually over the centuries, but their progress was neither inevitable nor orderly. Castile, Leon, Navarre, Aragon, and Portugal competed with one another almost as often as they fought the Muslim states of the south. Dynastic marriages could create opportunities, but they could also produce bitter succession disputes. A king might inherit a realm through blood, lose it through rebellion, recover it through diplomacy, and then spend years trying to convince the nobility that his authority was more than a temporary arrangement. Fernando III emerged from this uncertain world and transformed it. His reign did not simply enlarge Castile. It permanently united the crowns of Castile and Leon, changed the political geography of the peninsula, and laid the foundations for the emergence of the most powerful Christian monarchy in medieval Spain. Fernando was born around 1199 or 1201, probably in the region of Zamora, at a moment when the relationship between Castile and Leon was tense and complicated. His father was Alfonso IX of Leon, an energetic and independent-minded monarch who ruled one of the oldest Christian kingdoms of the peninsula. His mother was Berengaria of Castile, the daughter of Alfonso VIII of Castile and Eleanor of England, a woman whose political intelligence would prove decisive in Fernando's life. Through Berengaria, Fernando belonged to the Castilian royal house. Through Alfonso IX, he belonged to the Leonese dynasty. His blood connected two crowns that had once been united, had later separated, and remained bound together by rivalry, proximity, and a shared frontier with the Islamic world. The marriage of Alfonso IX and Berengaria was politically useful but canonically problematic. The spouses were closely related, and the church did not recognize the legitimacy of the union. Under papal pressure, the marriage was annulled in 1204. Berengaria returned to Castile, and Fernando spent much of his youth within the Castilian sphere. The annulment could have weakened his future prospects. Instead, it placed him at the center of a dynastic drama that eventually gave him access to both kingdoms. Medieval politics often depended on circumstances that no one could fully control. A marriage declared invalid by the church did not erase Fernando's royal lineage, nor did it prevent his mother from shaping his destiny with unusual skill. Berengaria deserves special attention because Fernando's rise cannot be understood without her. Medieval queens and princesses were frequently portrayed in chronicles as passive figures, valued primarily for their marriages and their children. In reality, many of them were experienced political actors. Berengaria was among the most capable women of the 13th century. She understood the temperaments of noble families, the importance of ecclesiastical support, the symbolic power of royal legitimacy, and the dangers of unnecessary civil war. She was not merely Fernando's mother. She was his advisor, protector, and political architect. Her careful decisions helped ensure that the transition of power in Castile took place with remarkable efficiency. The first major turning point came in 1214, when Alfonso VIII of Castile died. Alfonso VIII had been one of the most important Christian kings of his generation. 2 years earlier, in 1212, he had participated in the great victory at the Battle of Las Navas de Tolosa, where a coalition of Christian forces defeated the Almohad army and weakened the power of the North African Caliphate in Iberia. Yet the Castilian monarchy remained vulnerable. Alfonso VIII's heir was his young son, Henry I, who was still a child. Berengaria became an important figure in the regency, but noble factions competed for influence over the boy king. The powerful Lara family, one of the most influential aristocratic houses in Castile, sought to dominate the government.